Good morning. The wind has visited us. There's a fine layer of dust everywhere. Oh. But these passages this morning, aren't they beautiful? Isaiah has some real gems, and this is, I think, one of my favorites. Is this not the fast that I choose? It's a familiar passage, but let's think about what it's actually saying to us. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob and their sins. God is not pleased. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation of practiced righteousness. And it goes on to say how the people go through all the movements, the rituals. They check all the boxes. They cry out, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves, but you do not notice? And what Isaiah is prophesying to the Israelites is that, you know, our faith is just not about ourselves. It's not about going through the motions. It's not about being self-serving. It is true that our faith can be a source of great comfort, but that's not what it's about. The reality is that our faith and God's love is for the life of the world, the whole world. And it's so clearly set out in this beautiful poetic passage that God is not going to rest, does not want us to rest, right? Until the bonds of injustice are broken. The yokes have been removed and the oppressed are free. The earth will continue to groan and God will continue to yearn until all who are hungry have bread, those without homes have houses, those without clothes are covered. So God says to us, let your light shine. Let it break forth like the dawn. That's our job. It's not to kindle this light and just keep it all closed up in here just for our own good. The whole purpose of nurturing this beautiful light that we have is to let it shine forth into the world and bring light into all the dark crevices, to work for all those who are in need. It's echoed in our gospel today. And we missed the Beatitudes last week as we celebrated the presentation of our Lord. And this passage follows as part of the Beatitudes. And it's important to place it in that context, because when you know that it's part of the Beatitudes, you can hear these beautiful words. They're like sheer blessing. Jesus is on the mount looking out at this multitude of beautiful faces. And we might not have seen him as beautiful, but God did. He's looking at these beautiful beings, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are beloved, my son. You are beloved, my daughter. You are the light of the world. Words of sheer blessing. Words designed to remind us who we are. Words to call us to action. Salt, right? Just that basic little mineral that sits on all of our table. It's almost innocuous. And yet, the world was absolutely transformed by salt. Salt has this crazy history of being like sacred substance in almost every tradition. The Romans paid the Roman guards in salt. That's where the word salary comes from. That's where the phrase, you're not worth your salt, comes from. Salt allowed us to preserve food, and it changed the way civilization navigated the world because of its preservative qualities. It's been known as a substance of purity, right? Whenever the Hebrews would make a covenant, they would seal it with salt for its internal lasting qualities. So when God says, or when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth, that's a big deal. So he's saying that you, beautiful people, have the ability to spice up life, to bring out the best flavor in everyone, to preserve creation, to make it holy and enduring. One grain at a time. By just showing up, by letting our light shine. I have a friend who did a deep dive into the history and science of salt in preparation for this sermon. And he discovered that there is only one way that salt can lose its saltiness. Right? Because it's fascinating. Like, he figured this out. So the, you can, like, because there's nothing, you can leave salt on the shelf for years and it will still taste salty. You can dilute it in water and eventually, you know, the water will evaporate and it will still taste salty. The one way, and don't do this because apparently it will also kill you, but the only way, which is actually a theological reflection in and of itself, but the only way that salt can actually lose its saltiness is if you eat spoonfuls of it, because it becomes bitter instead of salty. Right? So apparently, if you eat 4 tablespoons of salt, you will die. So don't do that. But the salt will no longer be salty. Salt maintains its saltiness by being mixed with something else. Salt, we put it right on our food, just a titch will make all the food just spark, right? It brings out the flavor. You know, in the South, we put salt on everything. Apples and plums and watermelons, and you will never taste a better watermelon than with a little titch of salt, right? So Jesus is saying to you, beautiful people, go out and embrace the world and bring out its best. Preserve it and lift it up. And let your light shine, that light of Christ. We heard about it last week when we talked about the presentation of the Lord. That light that is within us and that light within other people that God helps us to see. That light can spread in every direction. And so we are to be bearers of God's light so that it can reflect on everyone else. The only other like random thought I had as I was preparing this sermon was that, you know, we think about fasting in terms of food, and fasting as a spiritual practice, but the question came up in my mind, what are we actually fasting from unconsciously? Because I think most of us are fasting from God's love. We don't give ourselves time to sit and be still and listen and be embraced and be filled with God's love and God's joy and God's gratitude. That's the fast we need to set down. Because when we give ourselves the permission to feast at God's table, then God gives us the ability to shine. And when we shine and when we spread our salt, that's when the bonds of injustice begin to loosen. That's how we begin to make a difference in the world. That's how we begin to create a place where the world no longer needs to groan and God no longer needs to yearn.